Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Nun Vav, the second to last daf in Maseches Shabbos. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and also sponsored the Eloi Nishmas Meir Yosef Ben Avram Olav Shalom by his children and grandchildren, Hashem Shav and Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. We are holding about 10 lines from the end of the page on Daf Kuf Nun Hayam and Beis. We are at Tanya Kavase to Rav Yehuda. The last thing we spoke about is feeding animals, but now the Gemara is going to discuss a little bit more. We're going to finish up the sugya about feeding animals, and then the Gemara is going to get into mixing different components of animal feed, water and the animal feed together, and how that relates to the malacha of lush on Shabbos, and then the Gemara is going to get into the effects of mazalos on the nature of people. Does it matter when a person is born, what day of the week he's born, what mazal he's born under, and does that affect his personality, and particularly when does it affect a Jewish person's personality? So that's going to take us pretty much all the way until the end of the daf, or at least until the Mishnah on Amud Beis, where we're probably going to leave off today anyway. So let's begin at Tanya Kavase Rav Yehuda, again about 10 lines from the end of the page. Says the Mishnah, says the Braisa rather. Tanya Kavase Rav Yehuda, again, Rav Yehuda discussed Hamra'a Hal'ata, you know, the different types of feeding, whether you feed an animal to the point where it's not able to regurgitate the food, it is able to regurgitate the food. So Ezuhi Hamra'a, Ezuhi Hal'ata, what is the definition of Hamra'a and Hal'ata? Hamra'a Marbitza Upoke Sespia, that before you feed it, you lie the animal down on the ground and you open up its mouth and you stick the food all the way in. The animal's unable to close its mouth, and that's why it's not able to spit the food back out, because you have the animal lying down with its mouth wedged open, and therefore you're able to get the food really deep into the mouth. And at the same time, you put kashinin and water into the animal's mouth. Halata, what is halata? Ma'achila mu'umad u'mashka mu'umad. You feed the animal while the animal's standing up, and you give it to drink while it's standing up, and you give it the kashinim and the mayim separately. So long as the animal is not ravutza, it's not lying on the ground, you're not going to be able to dig it to put the food that deeply into its throat, and therefore, when it comes to halata, the animal is able to be machzir the ochel. You're not going to be able to force the animal to swallow the food. So that's the end of the sugya of defining the difference between force feeding of halata and amra. So the basic summary is of this machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Chista about feeding animals on Shabbos is to put food in front of an animal on Shabbos, according to Rav Yehuda, is mutter if the animal relies on you for food. According to Rav Chista, is mutter even if the animal does not rely on you for food. However, even Rav Chista was moda, we saw yesterday, that if there's so much food available to the animal, it's so easy for the animal to access food, even Rav Chista would be moda that it's usher even to place the food in front of the animal. As far as pitum balei chayim, as far as actually fattening and sticking the food into the mouth of balei chayim, so by hand, putting your food into a place where the animal is able to spit it back out, everyone is going to say is mutter, but to a place where the animal is not able to spit it back out, according to Rav Yehuda, is asr, because it's a tircha yisera, and according to Rav Chista, if you do it by hand, it's mutter, if you do it by kli, it's asr. So that's that sugya. So now the Gemara discusses the malacha of lush as far as it comes to animal feed. So Mahalkatin the Tarnagolin. So we said in the Mishnah that you could be Mahalkatin the Tarnagolin, you feed the Tarnagolin, but it also said that you're Nosim Mayim the Morsan Avalo Govlin. They could put water into the Morsan, you're just not allowed to knead them together. So Amar Abayi, Amrisa Kameh Damar, I said in front of my Rebbe, and we know Abayi's Rebbe he had a couple of Rebbeim, but the Ritva points out over here that we're talking about Rav Yosef, that he said in front of Rav Yosef, that Masnisin Mani, our Mishnah that said that putting water in front of Morsin is still not considered a malacha of lush, and therefore you're allowed to do it. Who's that going like? So Amar Li, and my Rebbe responded to me, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudhi, that Mishnah follows the Shita of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudhi. The Tanya, Echanosin Esakemach, Echanosin Tochamayim, Ha'achron Chayiv. That if you have two people, one put the flour into the bowl, and then someone else poured the water into the bowl, the guy who poured the water into the bowl is Chayiv, Divi Rabbi, that's Rabbi Shita, that putting water water into the bowl alone is considered to be a malacha of lush. But Rabbi Yosef Revuda Omer Einu Chayiv Ad Sheyagabel. Rabbi Yosef Revuda holds you're only going to be chayiv when you're megabel, when you actually mix it together. So you want to know who our Mishnah is going like, where we say that it's okay to pour the water and the morsan together into the same bowl. That must be going like Rabbi Yosef Revuda, because he holds that there's no iser until you do a maisa of lisha. Says Marna Dilma Ad Kan No Kam Rabbi Yosef Revuda Asam Ela Kemach De Bar Gibelhu. Maybe Rabbi Yosef Revuda only allows pouring the two ingredients in together without doing a maisa of lisha when you're talking about flour, which is meant to be kneaded together. Avul Morsan De Lav Bar Gibelhu. But by morsan, where you don't even really do lisha by morsan, because morsan doesn't turn into a dough by kneading it together, then maybe Afilu Rabbi Yosef Revuda Moda. Maybe Rabbi Yosef Revuda would agree that to violate the melacha of lush when it comes to morsan, simply placing it in the same bowl alone is considered to be a violation of the melacha of lush. The Ritva explains that the svara is that maybe only by flour, where it's meant to be kneaded and to make a dough out of, you're not chayiv when you put water in, because that's not the gemar melacha of the flour. But when it comes to morsan, there's nothing else that you're supposed to be doing with it. So this is the gemar melacha when you just put the water together with the morsan, and therefore that's already going to be chayiv. So says Gemara, lo sal kadai tuch. No, I don't think that that's the case. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda would say differently about flour than he says about morsan. Titanya badya, it says beferish in the brisa. Ei nosin mayim lamorsan divrei Rabbi. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda nosin mayim lamorsan. The Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda holds shita, his shita by morsan as well, that you're allowed to put water and morsan together so long as you don't do an act of gibel. Tanu Rabban, we have a brisa that discusses ein govlin esakali, that you're not allowed to knead together the toasted grains. V'yeshomrim govlin, and some say yes, you can. So man yeshomrim, who are those yeshomrim? Meaning that because of l'chora, according to Rabbi, even just putting water in is going to be a problem, and according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, megavlin is going to be a problem. When you're doing a mice of gibel, it's going to be a problem. So who's this yeshomrim that says that you're even allowed to be govel as hakali? It doesn't seem to fit anybody. Some Rav Chista, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. It fits Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that you're allowed to put water together with flour, and v'hani mili the mishani. And he said you're not allowed to do gibel, but you are if you do it with a shinui. If you do it in an unusual enough way, you're even allowed to do gibel. Hechi mishani, what would be considered an unusual way? What would be considered a shinui? Rav Chista al yad al yad. To be govel al yad al yad, which Rashi over here says means that two things. Megabel kila achar yad, but the way the Achronim understand Rashi is it means ma'at ma'at, little by little, not just in an unusual way, but that you're megabel just little by little. That's what the Bir Halacha writes in Siman Shin Chaf Aleph, that Rashi clearly is referring to when he is referring to ma'at ma'at. He's referring to a quantitative thing, because that's how Rashi writes explicitly in Maseches Beitza on Daf Yud Beis. So says Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, you're not only allowed to pour water into the flour, you're even allowed to then mix it, provided you do so with a shinoi. V'shavin, but Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda agree, shabach shenes ha-shasis b'shabis, that if someone makes a food called shasis, which is made of toasted grain and water and oil and salt, you're allowed to mix it with a spoon on Shabbos, because it doesn't make a proper dough. V'shosim zesum ha-mitzri, and you're also allowed to drink zesum ha-mitzri, which is some type of therapeutic drink, because it's really a meichel briyim. It's something that healthy people would eat as well. It would be like the equivalent of a hot tea that people drink it all the time. So even though it may have therapeutic value, you're allowed to drink it. Va'amrit ein govlin. I asked the Gemara, but wait, didn't we say ein govlin, that you're not allowed to do the gibel? So the first day of the Brisa holds ein govlin, and then we say that everyone agrees that bokshen es nashas b'shabbos. So what's going on? So it says malo kasha. Haba ava, haba raka. The Brisa previously was talking about a blila ava, when it's a thick mixture, so that you're not allowed to do unless you do with a real shinoi ma'at ma'at, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Whereas the brisa that allows l'chol adeos to make this shasis, that's beraka. The shasis apparently was made as a blila raka. The definition of blila raka is, yes, it's a mixture, but it pours. It's not like a thick dough. It can pour from one kli to another, and that's not considered as serious a violation of lisha. V'hani mili hudu mishani. But even by the blila raka, still you need to do a shinoi. Hechi Mishani, how do you do a Shinoi? Amar Rav Yosef Pachol, Nosin Es HaChometz, V'Achakach Nosin Es HaShasis. Since during the week, the way they normally make it was first you put the Chometz in, and then you put the Shasis in, B'Shabbos, Nosin Es HaShasis, V'Achakach Nosin Es HaChometz. It doesn't need to be that big of a Shinoi, just a Shinoi in the order in which you put the items into the mixing bowl. So now the Gemara quotes a story that relates to this. Levi Breder Avuna Barchia, Ashkhe Legabla Debe Noshe. He found that the guy who was guarding his father's animals was taking care of the feeding of the animals. The kagavul v'safi le'leture was being megabel on Shabbos. He was preparing the morsel on Shabbos for the animals, and he was doing it with a shinoi, and then he was feeding the animals. So batash bay, he got angry at him, and he said to the shomer that he made a macha against the shomer that you're not allowed to do this. So asavur of Huna Bar Chia, Levi's father came ashkechein. He saw what was going on, that there was this confrontation happening between the son and the stable boy, and the son was yelling at the stable boy, "You're not allowed to be doing this on Shabbos." So the father said to Levi, "Hach yam Rav Uad Imach Mishmed Rav. Your maternal grandfather used to say in the name of Rav." Well, who's his maternal grandfather? Why does it matter? It's his maternal grandfather used to say, unless he's someone interesting. So Manu, who was it? Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba. Ooh, it was Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba. It was the Talmud of Rav. So now it makes a difference. It's like they say when Rav Soloveitchik used to say, "My grandfather held." You know, anyone can say my grandfather, but when your grandfather's Reb Chaim, so then it really means something. So who is his grandfather? Who's Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba, used to say in the name of Rav, that govlin v'lo mesapin, that you're govel morsen for behemos and Shabbos, like the sheet of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, but you're not allowed to stick it into their throats to a place where they're not able to spit it back out. Udelo lakit belishne, and a tiny, a small calf that still doesn't know how to eat properly, malkatina, that you're even allowed to feed it biadayim. V'ani milihu demeshani, but that's only this heter of gibul is only if you need it in a way that involves a shinoi. Heichi mishani, what would be the shinoi? Am ravir b'sham mishmei dabayish siva erev, that you do it in a crisscross motion rather than normally you would do it more in a circular motion. When you would mix things, you do it in more of a crisscross motion. Iva loma ariv shapir, but if you do that in a way, if you do it that way, it's not going to mix very well, and that's not really gibul. And Rabbi Yirmiyah said that you're allowed to be govel more son, so this doesn't seem to be a real gibul, because it's not really mixing well. Some review that explains minatro lekli, that if the morsan doesn't get mixed by moving it with a stick in a crisscross fashion, so you can pour it into a kli and then it will become mixed on its own. What does that mean, that you can pour it into a kli and it will become mixed on its own? So it's machlokas rishonim. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos Perichav Aleph that you could be minatro the morsan into another kli until it gets mixed. Keep pouring it back and forth from one kli to another, and just by being poured back and forth, it will ultimately mix properly with each other. However, Nagos Maimonios, he quotes from a number of other Rishonim, the Sefer HaTruma, that you can be menanea the kli. You take the kli and you just shake up the kli really well, and that's another way to properly mix the ingredients. The Bach is medayik, that you can't be... that according to that sheet, what the Rambam suggests would not be permitted, that it's only within one kli that you're allowed to shake it up, but not to pour from one to the other. But anyway, we paskin in Shulchan Aruch and Simin Shin Chavdal, the Tziv Gimel, like both sheetos, that you're allowed to be mixed the morsan by being minna'er into another kli, or by being minna'er the kli that it's already in, either pouring from one kli to another, or really shaking up the kli that it's already in. So according to the Maskana, the way the Gemara comes out, according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to be Gabel Morsan with a shinui, which is either a shesi arev motion, either a crisscross motion, or by shaking the kli. And as far as gibel of shasis, so if it's a blila ava, you're allowed to do it with a shinui, which is, but the shinui has to be ma'at ma'at, that you do little by little. And if it's a blila raka, then you can be bochish kedarko, but you should just be do a minor, very minor shinui of just the seder hadvarim, of just putting the items in differently. So you see that there are three levels of shinoi over here. There's the level of shinoi that involves ma'at ma'at. There's the level of shinoi that siva erev or nir akli, and there's the level of shinoi of just putting the ingredients in a different order, and each one is applied in different circumstances. Ksiva pinkasi de ze'iri. It says on the in the notebooks of ze'iri, they used to, even before the Torah Shebaal Peh was written down, they used to always keep notebooks. But so the notebooks of ze'iri said from the shiurim that he attended that Amr's kadosh, or from the the conversations he had in learning that Amr's Kadim Rabbi, I said to my Rebbe, who's his Rebbe, Umanu, Rebbe Chia, Mal Legabel. I asked him, what about needing a dough on Shabbos? So Amar, Asur. He said, it's Asur. Mal Lefarik. What about moving food from a trough in front of one animal into a trough in front of another animal? Are you allowed to move food from one kli to another in front of, to move it from one animal to another? So Amar Mutar, he said, yeah, that you're allowed to do. That's how Rashi understands that second Shaila. Shaila is just is nothing to do with anything we've been talking about, nothing to do with the Malach of Lush, just about moving the food from one place to the other. Tosos says, what are you talking? That's a Mishnah Mefureshes. We already had a Mishnah explicitly like that in Kuf Mem and Beis, Notam Lefnei Be'e Mezuba, Notam Lefnei Be'e Mezuba Shabbos. Why would you have to ask a Shaila about such a thing? Furthermore, the Ritva points out that the two questions that have no Shaychus to each other. One question is about mixing, and the other question is just about moving from one kli to another. So therefore, Tosa says, and the Ramban and the Mechamos also say, that the real Shaila is whether you're allowed to pour the morsan with the water from one kli to another kli until it gets mixed properly. The Ritva quotes similarly in the name of Tosos that the Shaila was about morsan that was already mixed on Erev Shabbos. Can you pour it from one kli to another in order to mix it even better? And that's where he said that it's mutter to do. Amar of you're allowed to put one portion of food in front of one animal. Trey kami trey. You're allowed to put two portions of food in front of two animals. Shapir dami. That's all mutter to do on Shabbos. But tlasa kami trey. But to give extra, to put three portions of food in front of two animals, aser. That's going to be an unnecessary tircha. That's going to be aser. Yosef amar kav vafilu kabayim. Ula amar kor vafilu karayim. Rabbi Yosef says you could even put a kav or two kav. And Ra'ula adds even a kor or a kurayim, meaning whatever you want. However, there's no quantity limit in terms of how much food you're allowed to put in front of an animal. So k'siv up in kasei de Levi. Once we're talking about notebooks, so we're going to say what it says in a lot of people's notebooks. On Levi's notebook, it says Amris Kadim Rabbi that I said in front of my Rabbi Umanu, who is my Rabbi Rabbeinu Hakadosh, that his Rabbi was Rabbeinu Hakadosh, which is Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, the redactor of the Mishnah. Sa al dahavu gavlin shisa. Bavel, those people that would need the shesisa in Bavel, Bavat Savach Rebbe, and Rebbe would cry out, Umanu, and who was his Rebbe, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Adav Gavlin Shesisa, Veles Deshmi'alei, about the fact that people would do this, and no one listened to him, Veles Chayla B'yadei L'meisar, and even Rebbe, even Rabbeinu HaKadosh, didn't have the ability to aser it, he couldn't do anything about it, the fact that everyone was Govel Shesisa. Why? Because Rabbi Yosef, they followed the sheet of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees with Rabbi and holds that it's mutter to be megavel shasis, even if it's a blila ava, as long as you do it with a shinoi. So they were doing it with a shinoi, as a blila ava, and that was therefore mutter for them to do. Good. So that is the what was written regarding kneading dough on the in these people's notebooks. Now, once we're discussing notebooks of gedolei amoraim, so we're going to mention things that were written that have nothing to do with kneading dough that were written in people's notebooks. So ksivap and kasi. Rabbi Shua ben Levi. It says in Rabbi Shua ben Levi's notebook that Haima, now we're moving into the sugya of mazalos, of when a person is born, affect his personality and his kochos. So Haiman de Bechad b'Shaba, a person who's born on Yom Rishon, that counts as a daf yomi coincidence? No, because we're going to talk about the person who's born every day of the week. So a person who's born on Yom Rishon, Yigavar v'lo chadabe, is going to be a person who is complete in a particular midah, but he's not going to have another particular midah. So, my velo chadabe, what does it mean, velo chadabe? Ilema velo chadativo, if it means that he's not going to have another good midah, he's going to have his one good midah, and that's it. Vam Ravashi anabachad b'shaba havai. Ravashi was born on a Sunday. Ravashi was a fantastic bal midos, not just one midah. He had many wonderful midos. Elav must mean that chadalabishu, that he's not even going to have one bad midah. Vam Ravashi, but that doesn't work either, because Rashi also told us, that not only was I born on a Sunday, but Dimi Bar Karkosta was also born on Shabbos. So I happen to be a Melech, Lav Dafka Melech, it means a Talmud Chacham. The Gemara Maseches Gittin tells us that our Abanim are called the Melechim, because the Pasuk in Mishlei says, Be Melechim Yomlochu, so it's a reference to Talmid Chacham, so the Talmud Talmidei Chachamim are called Malachim, but he, the other guy that was also born on a Sunday, is the head of all the Ganavim. So apparently it's something about leadership, but he's a leader in a very bad way. So don't tell me that you can't have a bad midah if you're born on a Sunday. No, it means you're going to be an extreme personality. You're either going to be entirely good or entirely bad, and therefore you saw that contrast with Rav Ashi and this Reish Ganavi. So Haiman de Betrei B'Shabbat, a person who's born on a Monday and Yom Sheni B'Shabbos, he gever ragzan, is going to be a person who's easily angered and is not going to get along very well with people. Maitai Mishim de Fligu Be'Maya, because that's where split happened. That's where the Mayim HaTachtonim and Mayim HaElyonim were split from each other, so there was a Havdalah, there was a separation, and therefore this person is not going to be Mu'urav in Brios, he's going to be separated from the Brios. Maybe that's the connection to the discussion of Lisha, that he's not going to be mixed in well with people, he's going to be separated from people. Haiman de Plasa B'Shabbah, a person who's born on a Tuesday, Yegaver Otir, is going to be a wealthy person, Vizanoye, but he's also going to be an adulterer, Maitaima Mishum de Ibru Be'asavim, because that's when the Asavim were created, and the derech of weeds and grass is to grow very quickly and not to recognize any borders. It just grows and grows and grows. So this idea of Pritzas Geder is what causes a person to be an adulterer, that he doesn't respect boundaries, that there's that this person is married to somebody else, and these people are mutter to you, these are usher to you. So that's the association with Asavim. According to some Rishon, Rashi then says that there are others that say that no, it's because it doesn't say l'minehu by Asavim. All Asavim grow together, and they're yonek one from the other. So that's the reference to our rayos, that the way that they grow, as opposed to ilanos, which grow separately from each other. Haiman de Barba B'Shabbat, a person who's born on a Wednesday, Yegaber Chacham Inoyer, is going to be a Chacham, and he's going to have a beautiful address panim. My time, Mishum de Itlu Be Ma'oros, because on Wednesdays, Merkosh Baruch Hu put the luminaries in the sky, and the luminaries represent Torah, Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or. The Or is a remnant to Torah, so a person is going to be a Talmud Chacham, and his face is going to be luminous. Haiman de Chamisha B'Shabbat, a person is born on a Thursday, Yegvar Gomel Chasodim, is going to be a Bal Chesed. My time, Mishum Divir Be Dagum Va'Ophos. That's when Dagum and Ophos were created. What does it have to do with Chesed? Because they receive their food directly from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. They don't have to be Tareach in order to get their food. It's just the Chesed of a Kodesh Baruch Hu that they receive their food, and therefore, since they're the recipients of great Chesed of the Ribono Shel Olam, so someone who's born on that day is considered to be more likely to be a Bal Chesed. Haiman de Bemali Shabbat, a person who's born on Erev Shabbos, Yegaver Chazaron, is going to be a person who looks to achieve something. He's going to look to find something. Amr of Nachman Yitzchak, what does that mean? Chazaron b'mitzvos. He's going to be interested in trying to look to be Mekayim mitzvos, but just like on Erev Shabbos, that's what we typically do. We get ready and we look to prepare for Shabbos and to make sure that our Shabbos experience will be proper. So this person does all the preparations in order to be able to find mitzvos. The Marsha explains that just like each of the other days that we mentioned, we associated the person's kochos with the sheshes yimei bereishis, so too when it comes to someone who's born on Erev Shabbos. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that on Yom Shishi, Adam Arishon was nitztava on the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. And that's where this really comes from, that he's beginning to chazum b'mitzvos, because it's the first time we ever had mitzvos. That on Yom Shishi, Adam Arishon was created, and he got the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. He was told he was given some mitzvos to fulfill. So therefore, that's a symbol of mitzvos. Friday is a symbol of mitzvos. Haiman de b'Shabbat, a person who's born on Shabbos, Yehi b'Shabbat Yomos. If he was born on Shabbos, b'Shabbat Yomos, he's going to die on Shabbos. Why? Al da'achilu alo yom rab de Shabbat. Because they had to be mechal Shabbos in his birth. If a person was born on Shabbos, so there was chil Shabbos involved in his birth. So the kapara for that is going to come when he dies on a Shabbos as well. The Gemara Nida tells us that there were certain Amoraim that wouldn't have tashmish on particular days of the week because they cheshbened out that if the pregnancy was full term, that it would turn out that their wife would have to give birth on Shabbos, and they didn't want to get involved in such a situation. Amar Rav, the Gemara ultimately says Shomer Psayim Hashem. We live life normally, and we hope for the best. Amar Rav Bar Shila, the Kaddisha Rabbi Yiskari. That person who's born on Shabbos is called a real Kadosh because Shabbos is we say about Shabbos in the Torah, Vei Kadoshehu. So Shabbos relates to kedusha. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Hanina. So Rav Hanina said to the Talmidim that were reading this notebook about all these mazalos, and if you're born on this day, that day, he said, Puku, get out of here. I'm like Leila Bar Levi, lo mazal yom gorim. He's got the mazalos all wrong. Now, he's not rejecting the concept of mazalos. He's just saying, it's not about the days of the week. Ela mazal shah gorim. It's about the shah, that there are seven mazalos in the sky that have shlita at different times, and that's what's really going to determine a person's nature. Hayman de bechama yigaver zaptan. A person who's born in the mazal of the chama is going to be a luminous person. Ye achil mi delay, vishasi mi delay, and he's going to eat from his own food and drink from his own. He's not going to mess with other people's stuff. Just like the sun is doesn't appear at all at night. Verzoi galion, and all of his secrets will be revealed. And the mgadav lo mitzlach, because he's not going to be a good secret keeper. If he's a ganav, he's going to be a terrible ganav, because everyone's going to know about all of his exploits. So hayman de bekocham noga, a person who's born under the kocham noga, yigavar ativ zanayi, he's going to be a rich person and also an adulterer. My time mishum de itli beinura, because the luminaries which represent eish, which is symbolic of the taiva for tashmish amita, relates to that mazel, so that taiva is going to burn in such a person. Hayman de bekocham yigavar nahir v'chakim, a person who's born in kochav is going to have a shine to his face, and he's going to be a baki and a chacham. The Rashash raises a question. He says, wait a second, we just said that a person who's born b'mazal kochav is going to be a nahir, and someone who's born b'mazal chama is going to be zavisan. Those are the same thing. It sounds like they're two separate things, but they both mean that your face is going to shine, because we said when a person is born on Yom Revi'i, Rashi said that he's going to be a zavisan. So it sounds like they're the same thing. So he quotes from the Aruch that Nahir means that he's going to have a good memory. It doesn't mean that his face is going to shine. Nahir and fits well. Nahir v'chakim go hand in hand. He's going to be a chacham and have a very strong memory. That's like the Gemara has such an expression. Nehirna kadhavu kayam in dalas and besela. Nehirna means nizocher. I remember when he used to be. So nahir means that he's going to have a good memory, says Rashash. Anyway, so he's going to be a nahir v'chacham, mishum desafra dechamahu, because the kochav of chama is always around, close to the sun, and from the sun is like its scribe to write down its comings and goings. Hayman de Belavana, a person who's born under the mazel of Levana, yigaver savul marin. He's gonna bear many illnesses, just like the moon shrinks over time in the second half of the month. Banai v'sasu, he's gonna build and destroy sasu banai and destroy and build, being just like the moon waxes and wanes. Achul delo delay, he's gonna eat that which is not his. Vishasi delo delay, and drink that which is not his. Just like the moon is masig gvul on the chama by shining during the daytime, v'rezoi kasyan, but his secrets are going to be well kept secrets, and therefore im ganav matzlach. If such a person is a ganav, he's going to be very matzliach as a ganav. Hayman de b'shabtai, a person who's born under the mazel of shvisa, yegaver mechshavtei betelin. He's going to be a person whose machshavos are going to become batel. V'istamri called him mechashven alei betelin. Some say whatever other people think of him, not that his plans are all going to become batel and his plans will never come to fruition, but the evil plots that people have against him are going to be batel. Hayman de b'tzedek, a person who's born in tzedek, yegaver tzadkan, is going to be a person who does tzedakos. Amrav Nachman bar Yitzchak, v'tzadkan b'mitzvah. He's going to give tzedakah to aniyim, so he's going to do great things. Hayman de b'madim, person who's born under the Muslim madim, yegaver asher dama, is going to be a person who spills blood. Some Ravashi doesn't necessarily mean a bad thing when a person spills blood. Umna, it could be that he's going to be a bloodletter, which is refuah, so it could be he's going to be a surgeon, so he deals a lot with blood. Iganva, or he's going to be a bandit that kills people. Itapcha, or a shochet. Imaala, or he's going to be a mael. All of these things are possibilities. Amarabba, so Rabba comments, I was born under the Mazel Madim. I'm not any of those things. Amar Abaye, Mar Nami, Anish Mekatel. He says, what are you talking about? You kill people also. Because anyone who violates what you say, since you're such a powerful Chacham, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes those people that don't do what you say. So since you make Zeros, you make Takanos, you make edicts, and people who don't follow them, they die. So you also have blood on your hands. Itmar Rabbi Chanina Omer Mazel Machkim Mazel Mashir Viesh Mazel Yisrael. Mazel causes Chachma, Mazel causes Ashirus, and the Jewish people have mazel, which means that no amount of tefillah or tzedakah or anything else is going to change what we are predestined to have. That's the concept of Yesh Mazel Yisrael. L'chora, that is very, very difficult. The Marsha says, so what does the Torah mean when it says Im Tishmu B'Koli, Im Lo Tishmu, the Tochacha, what's it all about? V'ye'ekev Tishmun. What's that all about if it's all dependent on Mazel? So the Marsha says that all of that is about Klal Yisrael. That Klal Yisrael as a whole is dependent on, but an individual, there are always going to be Aniyim and Ashirim, and that's what the position of Rabbi Chanina is, that Yesh Mazel Yisrael, that on an individual level, there is Mazel. The Meiri makes a very strong statement, and he says, ignore this. He says, this is not something that we hold like at all. We hold in Mazel Yisrael, and that the Raya that we hold in Mazel Yisrael is that we believe in Schar Va'onesh, and it's one of our core beliefs that we believe in Schar Va'onesh, and Schar Va'onesh makes no sense unless a person has Bechira Chafshis, and a person has the ability to be rewarded when he chooses to act in certain ways, behave in certain ways, and therefore he could be rewarded with certain things. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Ein Mazel Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan says that the Jewish people don't have mazel. It's all dependent on our tefilos and our zechuyos. Tosos raises the kasha in Dibra Maskel, Ein Mazel Yisrael. V'adam Rava b'shili ma'id katan, b'ni chayim muzoni lav b'zechus atal yimilsa el b'mazol atal yimilsa, that a person's b'ni chayim muzoni, his children and his livelihood and mizonos is all going to be taluy on mazel. So mikol makom yidiz chuskadol mishtana. So Tosos says, yeah, it's true. We do have some mazel. Even if you hold Ein Mazel Yisrael, there is some mazel. There are some people that are predestined to have to be more likely to, let's say, have successful children, but could still change with a lot of tefillah. Vaz Rabbi Yochanan Taimei, and this Rabbi Yochanan l'shitaso. Tam Rabbi Yochanan minayin shein mazel Yisrael. How do I know that there's no mazel for the Jewish people? Shneamar kolamar Hashem al derech hagoyim al tilmadu umeosa sashmayim al techatu ki yichatu hagoyim mehema, that you don't have to worry about the osos of Shemayim, it's the goyim that have to worry about. Hey mechatu below Yisrael, only the goyim have to be fearful of that. Va'av Rav sover ein mazel Yisrael. Rav also holds that the Jewish people don't have mazel. Tam Rav Yidam Rav, mi nayin shein mazel Yisrael, shenemar, because the pasuk says, ve'avram avinu, ve'yotzeo so hachutza. So Amar Avram, ve'akrush baruch hu, ribono shel olam, ben beisi yoresh osi, that what, my Eved Eliezer is going to be the one to yarshin me. So Amar lo, Hashem said, lav, ki im asher yetze mi me'acha, you're going to have a child who's going to be yoresh you. Amar lefan, ribono shel mistakalti mitzagninu sheli, I looked at my mazalos, v'sh'eini roi lo'ol ben, and I see, based on the stars, that it's not likely that I'm not meant to have a child. Ben Yoyada explains, Avram knew that he would have a child, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him he would have a child, but he was asking that L'chora would require Maisa Nisim, and I'd rather not benefit from Maisa Nisim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response is, no, Ein Mazel Yisrael, and therefore, it's not even going to take Maisa Nisim. That is the nature of the Jewish people. So I'm late, say me, Itztagninu Shelcha. No, you go beyond the Itztagninus. You know, you're not bound by the Itztagninus. She'ein Mazel Yisrael, because there is no Mazel for the Jewish people. Rabbi Yehuda Snipes explains that the reason there's no Mazel Yisrael is because we were born as Shalom Alpi Mazel, meaning because Alpi Mazel, Avram Avinu, was not Royal the Holid. So that set the tone for the rest of Jewish history, that once there was no Mazel in that first generation, there's no Mazel anymore that controls us. My Daitech, why do you hold that you're not going to be able to have have children? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Avram, Dekai Tzedek B'marav, it's because the Mazel Tzedek is in the western side of the sky, which is a cold place, and that and coldness represents inability to reproduce. Madarnu Mekmin Alei, don't worry, I'm going to put it back B'Mizrach, on the eastern side of the sky, which is the warmer side of the sky. V'ayinu D'chsiv, Mi Heir Mimizrach Tzedek Yirkoru L'Raglo. Who caused Avram that his Mazel would be warm from the Mizrach, and that he'll be able to have children? It's because he called the Koch of Tzedek that it should come from the west to the east. And we also see Ein Mazel Yisrael from a story that happened with Shmuel. The Gemara is going to conclude with three stories over here up until the Mishnah. Shmuel and a certain non-Jewish chacham called Avlet, they were sitting, and there were some people that were walking to cut reeds in the agam. So Amalei Avlet to Shmuel. Avlet said to Shmuel about one of those people, "Hi Gavra, Ozev Loasi." That guy, you see that that guy going there? He's not coming back. He's going, he's about to get bit by a snake and die. I see in his mazel that that's what's going to happen to him. So Shmuel said, I don't know, but Ibar Yisrael, who Azlavasi, I can tell you one thing. If he's a Jew, then whatever your mazel you're reading is incorrect, because he's going to come right back. If he's a Jew, he's going to be saved by his tefillin, by his tzedakah, by his mitzvos. It's going to help him out. Adi Yasvi, Azlavasi. So while they were sitting there, the guy went and he came back. Come, Avli, Chagil Latune. So Avli couldn't believe it. He got up and he ripped the guy's bundle off of reeds that he had with him that he was schlepping back, and Ashkach Bechivya, and they found a snake there, the Pasuk Shtibitar Tiguvi, that was cut into two pieces. Apparently, when this guy was cutting the reeds, he cut the snake in half, the snake that would have killed him. So Amalei Shmuel said to this fellow, Maya Vadat, what did you do that you were saved from the snake? You must have some Givaldik Zuchus that you were saved. So Amalei, Kol Yom Avim Rimin Rift Abadi Adadi, every day me and Mechavra get together and we pool our food together, we each put in a little bit of bread and then we have a meal together, and we eat. There was one of the chevra that I know he didn't have any bread, so it would be very embarrassing for him when they go make the collection to put it in the basket that he wasn't going to have anything to put in. So I said to the rest of the chevra, today I'll do the collecting with the basket, I'll go around collecting the food. And when I got to this fellow who didn't have any food, Shavai Nafshi Kamanda Shakul Minei, I acted as if I was taking from him, so you shouldn't be embarrassed, but I was really putting my own food in. You know, I put in an extra loaf of bread on his behalf. So Amalei, so Shmuel said to that person, Mitzvah Vadit, you did a great mitzvah, and it's that zechus that you were saved with. So Nafak Shmuel, Vidar Shmuel, Manar, and Nidarsh, and the Pasuk in Mishlei, Utztaka Tatzel Mimavis, Velom Misa Mishuna, not only does Tzedaka save a person from Misa Mishuna, but even a regular Misa, Elam Misa, just from Misa itself, meaning this, it's not only that when you're going to die, you'll die a better death because of tzedakah. No, you could change the time that you're supposed to die based on tzedakah. So that is story number one. Story number two, Umid Rabbi Akiva Nami, Ein Mazal Yisrael. From the Maisa with Rabbi Akiva, we also learn that there's no Mazal Yisrael. Rabbi Akiva, Havilei Barta, Rabbi Akiva had a daughter, Amrele Kaldai, and one of these stargazers told him, the day that she goes into the chuppah, Tarek Lachivio Misa, so she's going to be bit by a snake and she's going to die. Havdiiga milsatuvas. Rabbi Akiva was very worried about this. Hahu yoma shakata lemachbanta. That day she took her brooch. That's the beguda. She put it in a hole in the wall. Isrami isim beini dechivin. There was a snake that was coming out of the hole right at that time, and it smacked it right in the eye and it killed the snake. She didn't even realize. She just stuck the brooch in the wall. Letzafra. The next morning, kikashakla, when she took out her brooch, havakasara fasi chivya basra. She pulled it out of the wall. There's a snake that comes out together with it. So our father says, what mitzvah did you do? What mitzvah did you do that you were saved? There's always got to be a zechus. You always have to contemplate what you've done right. So she said, Bipanya, that yesterday at the wedding feast, Asa Anya Kara Abava, there was a poor person that came to ask for food. But everyone was too busy enjoying the suda, Veleka Deshame, so no one was listening to this ani who didn't have anything. Obviously, so I took my portion of food that you gave me. The kala never has time to eat at the wedding anyway, so she took her portion of food that she was given. And she decided at the wedding she gave a tzedakah. She did a tzedakah to take care of other people. Maybe this is the basis of a minig, or part of the basis of a minig, that a kala is davening for other people on the day of rechasna, to think about doing a tzedakah for other people, even on the day that is celebrating her chasna. So Amalas, so Rabbi Akiva said, mitzvah vadit, that you did this mitzvah, and that saved you from mavas. Nafak Rabbi Akiva darish, and Rabbi Akiva therefore darshin utzdaka tatzel mimavas. V'lo mimisa mishuna, lo mimisa atzma. Not only does it save one from misa mishuna, it saves one from misa entirely, from the very essence of Misa. The Ben Yoyada asked, why did they bring the Mice of Rabbi Akiva after the Mice of Shmuel? It seems to be in the wrong order. Okay, Akasha. Says the Gemara now, a third Mice. From Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, we have another Mice where we see that Ein Mazal Yisrael. Why? The image of Nachman Yitzchak, Armila Kaldoi, a stargazer, told the mother of Nachman Yitzchak, Bruch Ganva Hava, your son is going to be a Ganav. Lo Shavakte Gluya Reshe. So So you better not leave. His mother didn't let him go with his head exposed, because she she said to him, "Kasei Shmaya," that you should always cover your head, and that way you'll have Yira Shemayim. Ubay Rachame, and daven that that your Yetzer Hara won't get the best of you. That you could always daven that, even though his natural inclination would have been to become a ganav and to give into his Yetzer Hara. No, daven that you'll have Yira Shemayim, and that your Yetzer Hara won't get the best of you. Lava Yada Amayka Armalei. He had no idea why his mother would always tell him this. You know, as if like he had done something wrong, or as if he had never done anything wrong in his life. Why is she always warning him? Better keep the Yamakan, better daven that you have your Shemayim, that you don't give it to Yitzhar. Yom Echad Yosef Kagaris Tute Dikla. One day he was sitting and he was learning under a dekel tree, Nafal Glima Meilave Reshe, and his coat fell, his cloak came from off of his head, fell off his head. Dal Einein, he lifted up his eyes, Chazal Dikla, and he saw the dekel tree. It wasn't even his. Alma Yitzri, his Yitzhar got the best of him. Solid Paskeli Kabur Bishine. And he went up to the dekel and he took a whole cluster of dates with his teeth. So from that mice, you see that ain't Mazli Yisrael, because based on the Mazli of Nachman, he would have been a ganav, and it was only the Kisoy Arosh, it was only the fact that he covered his head, that saved him from such an end. The Magen Avraham writes that even though the Gemara tells us in the Darim Daf Lamed and Beis that Katanim used to go without Kilo Rosh, but it's Nachon Lahachmir that you should cover the Rosh of Katanim as well, in order that they should have Yira Shemayim. That's the Chassidish Poskim discuss. And at what age do you start covering the head of children? So the Kleisenberger has a tshuva. He says at the age of 3 when he gets his hair cut. He says because prior to that, since his hair is going to be very long, if you have that minhag that they grow the hair long, so since the hair is going to be very long, the yarmulke is going to fall off all the time anyway, then he's going to just start throwing it off. It's going to be too annoying for him, and that's going to be bad chinuch. He's going to be mechunuch to throw his yarmulke off. So it must be that, so the two are connected, the Kleisenberger says. That's why at the age of 3 they first give the yarmulke, because it's much more manageable at the age of 3. Now the Gemara Maseches Pesachim tells us that you're not allowed to be Doresh Hasidos by Chaldeim. You're not allowed to go to stargazers and ask them what's going to be. That's part of the pasuk. That's part of the requirement of Tamim Tiyah Im Hashem Elokecha. This next week's parsha, I think, right? So maybe not. But it's part of Tamim Tiyah Im Hashem Elokecha. So the Ritva writes, no, it's not a kasha. How could Rabbi Akiva worry about what the Chaldei was telling him about his daughter? Because the Isser is not to be Shoel the Chaldeim, not to ask them what's going to be. But if they tell you, well, a lot of the things that they say are taka emes, so you have to be concerned if they tell you something is going to go wrong. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Ches and Tes, writes that a ma'onein, that the Torah asks lo soneinu, that you're not allowed to be a ma'onein, that's people who are nosnei itim. They assume that a certain day is good, a certain day is bad, you know, Friday the 13th, things like this, that you're not allowed to don't do certain malachos on certain days, and that's the isser of ma'onein. So anyone who follows the ma'onein is in violation of lo sa'onenu. The Ramban, however, disagrees. The Ramban is in the Tshuvas HaRashba that are miuchasos the Ramban in Siman Resh Pei Gimel. He disagrees with the Rambam. He says that there's no iser to be shoel in those who are chozim b'kochavim, those who see in the stars. And he brings a raya from the Gemara in Pesachim. Minayin shein sholim b'kaldim, because the pasuk says tam tiyem Hashem Elokecha. It doesn't say that it's an iser of lo sa'onenu. It just says tam tiyem Hashem Elokecha, that it's more appropriate that you should be more tamim and not worry about these things. But it's not a violation of lo sa'onenu like the Rambam says, and he says the raya from our sugya that Avraham Avinu says is takalti b'tzdagninus. I saw in my stars in what was going to be. So and also Rabbi Akiva that he listened to the Kaldai. So apparently there is something to this. So and from Rabbi Chanina we said that mazal mashir yesh mazal Yisrael. So even though la'alach we pass k'nein mazal Yisrael, it's only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes makes a nes li'reyav, says the Ramban, to be mevatel the gzeres hakochavim, and that's why you're not supposed to be shol behem, to be holich betmimus. But if you're sibit it's tagminus and it's not that way, then you still should be choshish for such things. So this is the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, plays out on the page in Shulchan Aruch as well. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up at the Mishnah tomorrow.